Beckwith had a good reputation, and higher headquarters said, we're going to send you to this really down in the dirt, beat up battalion. So this whole story, it's about 400 pages. It's quite a thick book, but it's a good read. And what it was is he took leadership principles, and he took this unit who had no confidence, no trust, no faith, bad leadership from platoons, companies up to the battalion level. He started renewing them, showing them that they could be successful in the battlefield. So what he did is took their heart, soul, and mind. These are all warriors. They're damaged. They're beat up. And they just go, we can't ever win. We can't ever win. But he taught them how to win. He taught them and instilled in them confidence, trust, faith. Does that ever sound like your personal Christian walk? Lack of faith, lack of confidence, lack of courage. I'm afraid, you're full of anxiety. Well, that's kind of how it was. By the end of the year that he had them maybe 13, 14 months. By the time he got done, they were one of the more decorated units, infantry units, in Vietnam. And they were so good that the North Vietnamese regulars that were actually where they were at was down in the Mekong Delta area. The Viet Cong went away. The NVA regulars, North Vietnamese Army regulars, went away. They started having less contact with the enemy because they did so well. And it's because he came in with confidence, teaching them faith, teaching them trust in each other, teaching them in the abilities to be good soldiers, and they were successful. So that's a little bit of the background why we have the title that we have for today's sermon. So let me bring this to us. Winter time is not far away. Now, I've heard two different stories so far. We're either going to have one hellacious winter, and we're all going to need mukluks and snowshoes to move from house to house. Or the other one's going to be, it's going to be a warmer than usual summer, and so go to Walmart and go ahead and get more suntan lotion. You know, take your pick. And depending on who you talk to, yep, it's going to be shorts and sandals, or, yeah, put on your parka. So we'll see how it goes. But here's what I do. Work with me here. In the wintertime, do you or do you not get a little bit cold in your house at times? You ever have a little bit of draft coming through the windows or around the doors? Or you forget that you left windows open upstairs, cold air is pouring in. And then you wonder why your heating bill is so high. So for us, we have in our house in West Jordan, we have an east-facing dining room and got the big picture windows on it and everything. So for me, when I start feeling a little cold, a little draft, all these things, I go stand by the window. And so the neighbors from across the fence line, all they see is some guy's behind sticking out through the window, essentially. But I'm standing there. Hey, you know, I'm in jeans, you know, so it's not like I'm naked. You know, the police are not at my front door going, hey, you know, you're an eyesore. But yeah, I'm standing there in the sun, the window's behind me, and I got my hands back here like this, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm moving my head, and it's the whole thing. And I'm enjoying the warmth. I'm embracing the sunlight. I'm taking it all in because I want to thaw myself out. Does that sound anything like maybe you could apply some of that to your Christian walk? It's cold. It's drafty. You need the warmth. You realize you need something better. Sometimes what we do, now I could put on more sweaters or sweatshirts and that sort of thing, but I like to bask in the sunlight. When you're feeling your Christian walk is drafty and it's cold and you need some sunshine, do you go find stuff to do? Instead of really going, what I need is to spend some time with the Lord, do you instead go, wow, going to Netflix, going to go watch a movie. Oh, I've got a credit card that's got some space available. I haven't hit my credit limit yet. Let's go shopping. Or are you the type of person who likes to cook and bake, and then when you're all done eating, because it tastes so good, you now go, God, I'm fat. I know, none of us do that, right? But you find, you look for all these things to give you comfort, to give you warmth, when in fact, what you really need to do is do something else. So let's go to Psalms. Grab that little Bible that's in front of you. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 28. I know we have the verse up here already, but it's a very, let's face it, this is a very blunt Bible verse. It really gets to the point. There's no going in circles. It hits you. My spirit sags because of grief. Now raise me up according to your promise. So here the psalmist, I do believe it's David, but it's the psalmist is saying, things are not going well for me. I'm a wreck. I really need some help. Now, God, I'm before you. I'm praying. I need your help. And so, oh, by the way, remember your promises and let's get me fixed. Now be prepared. It's like I always kid you about, you know, when you go to God and you pray game on, you never know quite what's going to happen. But the Lord has it all. He has the master recipe for each of us for our lives. He says, raise me up according to your promise. Now let's go to James, because here's the human condition. I love James. James hits you between the eyes. James is very unforgiving. It's direct. It's straightforward. It hurts. Okay, James 1, and I'll read verses 2 through 6, and you just follow along in your version. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. How are you guys doing? Are you in various trials right now? Are you in one trial, or you got a whole bunch, or are they in line? You're working on one trial, and now you got others on the coat rack waiting to come your way. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Is your faith being tested? Is your faith being tested? If it isn't, it will be. It says so. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Endurance. When was the last time you threw in the towel and said, I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. No, every day is not the answer. But there are times where you go, I've had enough. I don't want to do this, Lord. And he comes along and says, I think you can do it. I think you can do it. But if any of you lacks wisdom, anybody in here lacking wisdom these days? Oh, yeah. And the rest of you that didn't raise your hands, I already know. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Notice who you're supposed to go to. You don't go to your next door neighbor. Go to God. Now, God may direct you to somebody or bring that proverbial person into your life that says, hey, let's have some coffee. And then God brings that person along who has the exact words of life for you. It's all from the Spirit. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. He wants to pour out his wisdom upon you. He wants to pour out his grace on you. And it will be given to him. Verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Okay. Any of you ever been to Virginia Beach? Virginia Beach, cool place. Yes. Yes, you have. Now, Virginia Beach is a great place, especially when you don't have to be the one who's doing the annual rock and roll half marathon. We get to watch the runners go by and we're drinking our beer or whatever we're going to do. We're with you in spirit. But, well, let's face it. When you finish that race, you go through, you drop off the thing on your feet that says, You started the race. Here's, you finished the race. You immediately go into the beer tent. You have this cheap 3.2 light beer. Notice it's not the heavy, good German stuff, but it's this light stuff. And then somehow that's supposed to be your prize for completing the race. Anyway, that's an aside. The thing about Virginia Beach, and if it's also the same if you've ever been out on the Oregon coast, you've got some pretty good waves that are coming through there. And the thing about the Virginia Beach area, the Virginia Beach, is the undercurrent. It is really, really powerful. And you've got lifeguards that will only let you just go so far out into the surf, and then they start blowing their whistles at you and telling you to come back in. Because that undertow will sweep your legs out from underneath you. Same way on the Oregon coast. That undertow will take you out. Well, compare that to sin. You're going too far out. You're walking away from God. You don't realize it. And then all of a sudden, those spiritual legs get taken out from underneath you. And now you're in deep trouble. And this is where the grief comes in. Now I want your promises for my life. This is where it comes in from James 6. Ask in faith. Ask in faith. Trust and obey, like the song goes. All right. Now let's go to Hebrews 12:12. Notice we're doing a quick little, we're not very far. Hebrews is right in front of James there. Okay, Hebrews 12:12. Jan, in my version it says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. The Common English Version is going to say, so strengthen your drooping hands and weak knees. I love that. Your weak knees. Have you at any time in your life been so afraid that you feel like your spirit's going to leave you, your heart is pounding, your knees suddenly feel like they are without strength? I felt that way a couple times in Afghanistan where I thought my life was over. And I figured I only had 2 or 3 minutes left of life and so on and so forth. And that's another story that I've talked about. But I was terribly afraid, terribly afraid. How do you know this condition? How do you know the drooping hands and the weak knees? Who's my worry warts in here? And the young woman in the back has got her hand up with this evil smile on her face going, I'm a worrywart. Of course, I won't say Raquel's name. But I've been a worrywart. Who else we got in here that's worrywarts? Oh, I can't imagine that from you, Lisa. Okay. Jill. But Kelsey, you know, we've got folks that are worrywarts. We've got others. Let's see. How many of you remember the Hercules movie, the cartoon, the Disney movie? Okay, I guess you like it. You have Pain and Panic, the two little minions for Hades. And I just love the two of them. They're always anxiety-ridden, and they're running back and forth. Okay, have we forgotten something? Have we forgotten something? And more often than not, what they hear is this, oh, my God. You know, so this is maybe an extreme form of anxiety, but still anxiety on their part because they just know they did something that Hades told them not to do, so they have to face the big guy. All right, so we worry all the time. We have anxiety. Anybody in here prone to anxiety? Oh, more hands go up. Okay, by the end of the sermon, all your hands will be in the air. Okay, you have anxiety, and that's a terrible feeling. Anxiety is a terrible feeling. I remember in college when I'd be taking exams, especially the essay exams, and those of us that had to do the blue books and write all that out and all that kind of stuff. As I'm reaching the end of my test time, I could feel this nervousness starting around my feet. And by the time I'm finishing the last, crossing the T, dotting the I, and everything, my body's in this raging anxiety attack, and I'm wanting to head out the door. But somehow I have to keep myself planted in the chair to remember to finish what I'm writing. And oh, by the way, it helps to put your name on the book. Because it's like, yeah, it's an automatic F. Even though you got everything right, it's an automatic F if you forgot your name. So, You know, anxiety, it's a terrible thing. It also clouds your decision-making. It clouds the faith. It clouds your courage. Wringing your hands. Do we have any folks that kind of do one of these things, you get a little nervous, you kind of start playing with your hands? Okay. The rest of you are liars. I know that. We are all nervous at one time or another. You know, by the end of the sermon, you're all going to be up here repenting, so it's, you might as well just admit it now. One other thing, when you know things are not going right, you have the weak knees, is do you have problems trying to sleep at night? Kelsey's just up here. I mean, she's the epitome. Anything else I need to hit here for you? Because she's dying of laughter up here. I'm enjoying this. Okay? But you have problems trying to sleep. Now, self-medication in the form of bourbon isn't where it's at. I didn't say that. It's not a confession on my part. But self-medication or other avoidance things are not going to make the difference for you as far as sleeplessness. Take the time before you go to sleep. As I always used to pray, Lord, I'd like to wake up in the next morning. Especially, how many of you have had colds and you're pleading with God to let you wake up the next day because you know you're going to die during the night? Been there. As an 8 and 9 year old, I thought, I'm going to die. No, I've got things to do tomorrow. But anyway, that's another story. So you can't sleep. No matter how many times you say, I can handle this, you try to do it in your own strength. It's really, you need to make sure you're doing it in the strength of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. You need to pray down the Holy Spirit and you go, okay, God, make your promises come true. I'm a wreck and I need you. Now, let's go to Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Okay, so Nehemiah, everybody find it? Those of you that are looking, okay. So Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, verse 10 says, go eat rich food and drink something sweet, he said to them, and send portions of this to any who have nothing ready. This day is holy to our Lord. Don't be sad because of the joy from the Lord is your strength. Now, if you remember the background on Nehemiah, this is after the captivity, and he is rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, putting it all back together. But he's got three guys that are doing everything they can to keep him from building the walls. But this is part of this is in response to those three guys, but it's also the Lord is rescuing them. The Lord is giving them the strength to put everything back together. Nehemiah operated in faith and belief. He had plenty of reasons to give up, but he didn't. And that's the way it is for this congregation. Is this congregation has had plenty of reasons to give it all up, to shut the door and say, we're done. Now, I know that you show up on Sundays for entertainment value from me. I know how it is. But on the other hand, you are survivors. Every one of you is a survivor in one way or another. Not just church, but a survivor in life. A survivor with your children. God help us all. With your children, your marriages, your jobs, crazy neighbors, nutso, I will say it that way, nutso extended family. Got anybody that's just a little on the weird, bizarre side of your family? The Adams family comes to mind for me. Okay? You've got all these reasons to be unhappy, to not have the courage to continue on. But you as a group, you're survivors at work, in life. You're full of joy. I see it in you. You're full of joy. You have happiness. You're even happier at the end of the service. You have happiness. You know, I'm proud of you guys for doing that. You have stuck it out. This church is definitely going through some change. And it's going to go through change. but you haven't run away. And I'm very proud of you. God's proud of you. He's got a special place in his heart for this congregation and for this church. Let's not quit. All right. Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. So here's what Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 says. Okay. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, remember the blood of Jesus is what's made it possible for us to be here, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus is in the order of Melchizedek, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's a roadmap for us, plain and simple. We have a holy place for us because of the blood of Jesus. He rose again. We are part of that whole captives or captive, taken to heaven, and for in our case, on our way to heaven. We have a new and living way to overcome the flesh, to overcome sin. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. We operate in faith. We operate in courage. Let us operate in the grace that God makes for us. He gives us the power to overcome. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Each one of us, at some point or another, has made that confession of faith that Jesus is our Lord. Forgive us our sins. We have repented. And I know that's a daily struggle. We have repented. But we are moving on in the Lord. We're moving on in the kingdom of God. And he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. The Holy Spirit is faithful. And that brings us back to the Trinity, which is a whole nother huge class for me at school. You know, a systematic theology. All about the Trinity. Yet, it's one God. But yet three different parts of God. I can't figure it out. I just accept it. And I'm happy for it. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What a word to use. But when we come in contact with each other, we're embracing each other. How are you doing? We're showing love to one another. We're showing tolerance, patience, you know, fruit of the Spirit. And let us not forsake our own assembling together. So we come together for church on Sundays. Let's encourage one another. Let's draw to one another. So, about personal success. It reminds us, this section in Hebrews reminds us what it means that we are part of the kingdom of God. We are family. We are joint heirs in Christ. We are heirs with Jesus, and we are all family together. And then also down there towards the end, it talks about your day-to-day conduct. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to walk as a Christian. There is nothing easy about it. However, in this country, we haven't yet reached persecution like you'll see in Africa, Asia, North Korea, China, Russia, the really strong governmental authoritarian countries where they kill Christians, We don't hear a lot about it because there's a lot of things that are filtered out of American newspapers. But there's a lot of things happening worldwide. And someday, it may or may not show up here. It depends on us, right? So let me reread this one more time as we close. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's wear that. Let's use that as a garment. Take those verses. Use that as a garment on you. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us encourage one another to walk in the ways of the Lord and to have that fruit of the Spirit. Not forsaking our assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another as all the more as you see the day drawing near. We have been in the end times for nearly 2,000 years. And so for the early Christians, they were sure that Jesus was coming right back. He was just getting some horses, coming right back. All right, so it's been 2,000 years. But we are in the end times. So that's one of those things of be prepared for that. Be prepared for that. Can all of God's people say amen? Amen. Let's have offering.